Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Second hour today. You know, producer Phil, I should probably get us a new open there since we're doing a two-hour show for a while here. Folks, when I get to about June 1st, I'm not going to be able to do 2 hours because I farm. You know, since my father's passing, I now run his farm, which is now my farm. And when I get to June, I'm not going to be able to do 2 hours a day. It'll have to go to one. But in the meantime, to be accurate, we should probably say it like it really is. You know, the great thing about this radio station is even though we're not the don't have the biggest signal, we don't have the biggest staff around because it's, you know, the COVID business has hit so many of our advertisers incredibly hard, and it has, and it's, you know, for a while producer Phil was actually quite a while he was on unemployment, and he was still doing the show. Like a lot of our staff, we're still working for the station. And that's the great thing about a wonderful station that's a lot like a family. Because it is a family. Just like you guys are in the audience. And I can never thank you enough for being there. So that we can have these conversations and I can put ideas out there conversationally that I hope you find valuable so that you can change your world. And you do that by taking the things we talk about them and how we talk about them and persuade the persuadable. Nothing gets people's attention more than when their ox is being gored. When something they care about is being threatened. That's just human nature. And when it comes to our personal safety, there is no bigger issue. There isn't. That's why the testimony yesterday on Senate Bill 554 was so important. And I'm going to tie this into what the U.S. Supreme Court did yesterday and how dangerous it is and how we can fix it. And it relates to what's going on in Oregon to this day. The gun bill yesterday should have been influenced, intimidated, the way the U.S. Supreme Court has been intimidated, to not stand for the Constitution, but stand for their personal reputations, because apparently that's more important. Yesterday, there should have been 5,000 Oregonians at least at the Capitol protesting this bill, standing outside yelling and screaming and sound system set up, driving around the Capitol like Timber Unity. And Timber Unity should have been there yesterday because most of the Timber Unity guys and gals carry guns. They're rural people. They should have been there in mass, and they weren't. Nobody was there. You see, when you show up and you're loud and you're passionate to a degree without breaking the law, without stupidly going into tearing down fences and going into the U.S. Capitol or the Oregon Capitol, nobody should have done that. You can make your point by standing outside and yelling with bullhorns or sound systems or driving around honking your horns or your air horns or whatever. You let them know. It's inescapable. Inside that building, you hear the horns honking. You're in those hearing rooms, you're in your office, you got windows, you're hearing it. And you know something's happening, and you, as an elected official, had better pay attention. Because the implication is simple. If you don't, these people are going to make your life miserable, as they should. Because you know what happens? I can tell you this from personal experience. And this relates to why the Supreme Court is intimidated. What happens is you go back into your community, in your neighborhood. You go to the grocery store, the gas station, the auto parts store, the ball game, soccer game. People know you. And if people don't like you because you've done some stupid things politically or said something stupid, and believe me, I have, from the floor of the House of Representatives, and I paid a price for it. Let me tell you, they will let you know about it, and your life is going to become really uncomfortable. And it extends to your personal life. So when you are a public official and you're elected or appointed to a public body, and you take an oath to serve the Constitution, uphold it, defend it, and you even know what the Constitution says, which was the great thing about having Chris Ann Hall in town, then you had better take that oath seriously. Because people are going to let you know about it. Now, this also, the left has taken this to new, in the cancel culture and Antifa and showing up at your house. You know, that works both ways. Because a bunch of patriots showed up at the house of one of the OSHA inspectors in Oregon. Remember that story in Silverton? To send a message. Now, if you're going to do that kind of thing, stay on the sidewalk. Don't trespass, because that's wrong. Legally and morally, it's wrong. Don't go up to their door and pound on their door the way the leftists did on Senator Josh Hawley's wife and newborn baby at home. You don't do that. But you can stand on the sidewalk. And yeah, you can yell and you can have a bullhorn. That's all legal. When you do that, you make people's lives uncomfortable. It's a tactic of the left. We did the same thing at the state capitol, which is more appropriate than going to somebody's home. But believe me, because you're a public official, and if you've screwed up or you just don't care because you're a leftist, or if you're a constitutionalist and you're going to stand for the Constitution no matter what, there's a price to pay for that. So you and I have a question to answer within ourselves. And the question is simply this. What are we willing to stand for? Are we really willing to stand firm in the face and the onslaught of the cancel culture? Of people trying to ban our free speech, people shouting us down because we're going to stand for what's right and true and honest and good and pure. stand for the Constitution that guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and inalienable rights? Are we going to stand for that in the face of withering criticism from the mainstream media, from OPB hit stories like this one by Dirk Vanderhaart on Dallas Hurd and Herman Bersiger? Or are we going to be like Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh, who get intimidated by Chuck Schumer, or who get intimidated by all this talk about packing the court? So they're going to play nice. Well, I got news for you, Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh. If you guys dare to overturn Roe versus Wade, and I hope you do, because it needs to be overturned, but if you dare to do it, they're going to pack the court anyway. So your acquiescence to the intimidation of the left will have got you nothing except being known for the swamp creatures you are. Except for being known as supposed originalist conservative thinkers who chose literally to allow the destruction of the principles of the Constitution. That's what you did yesterday, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. You laid the foundation for the destruction of this great republic, constitutional republic. Because you basically said yesterday, and this is my interpretation, and this is why I'm so angry about this. You basically said that the law means nothing, that the Constitution means nothing, and that states can pervert their own constitutions, can act unconstitutionally in their own constitutions and affect national elections, national policy, and that's okay. When it clearly violates the U.S. Constitution. And all you have to do is read Justice Thomas's comments. And folks, you have to read between the lines here a little bit, but it's clear. In fact, the American Thinker story about this today makes this point. Clarence Thomas was livid, as he should have been. Because Brett Kavanaugh agreed initially to hear the one Pennsylvania case. And all of a sudden now he decided it's moot. It doesn't matter. Or the principles of the Constitution don't matter. I have more when we come back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. Stop the car.
22 minutes past 7 o'clock in the morning. Kathy, hang on. I want to complete this thought about the Supreme Court. You should be afraid. Friends, very afraid. The Supreme Court seems to get involved with every little thing that you can imagine. Except this. Why? I mean, they're involved in gay marriage. They made the decision saying gay marriage is okay. That our state constitution is null and void when it comes to that issue. But when it comes to elections, and this is why House Bill or H.R. 1 back in the U.S. Congress is so dangerous. It's going to come out of the House of Representatives likely sometime next week. It's federalizing elections. It does far more than that. It clearly infringes on the constitutional right of states. And Justice Thomas opened his dissent yesterday with these words. And I want you to listen. The Constitution gives to each state legislature authority to determine the manner of federal elections. That is true. Yet the federal government is going to try to pass a bill that nullifies this. That will get challenged immediately if they can get it done in the Senate, and I don't think they can get past 60 votes because the filibuster rule is still in place, and they can't change the filibuster rule, at least so far, because Sinema, Democrat senator from Arizona, and Joe Manchin have said they don't want to change it. They want to keep the filibuster. But let's just say that this gets passed. It would be challenged in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. You think the Supreme Court would rule on this? Or would they just say, yeah, sorry, we don't want to get involved because we've been intimidated. Now, yesterday, I stumbled upon a True News YouTube broadcast purely by accident where they were talking about Lynn Wood. What I did not know was that last week, Lynn Wood was affirming in a federal court lawsuit that he's representing someone suing for defamation. The opposing lawyer brought up a lot of his seemingly nonsensical comments, especially the part about Chief Justice John Roberts basically being a pedophile. He reaffirmed to in federal court, folks, in a court filing, that he in fact has evidence of John Roberts' complicity. I mean, why would you do that? You're an officer of the court. The judge can sanction you. The comments he made about Mike Pence being a traitor, he admitted was hyperbole. Except he also notes in his court filing that neither Chief Justice John Roberts or Mike Pence have publicly pushed back. Now, why would he do that? Why would he make such a that in that he, in fact, has evidence of this? He put that in a court filing last week. Folks, he can be sanctioned by the judge in this federal lawsuit if it were not true. Could this be the way that all of this comes out? That these pedophilia rings that we know are there all around the world, and that apparently Jeffrey Epstein had a part in, allegedly anyway. Could it be that this is how all of this begins to unravel? Because the U.S. Supreme Court is not doing it, folks. They are not our saviors. Let's go to Kathy, who's on the line. Kathy, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
As always, go ahead and reprimand me if you need to.
But, why would I do that?
No, the option is always there. Okay, so I don't think it's just mere intimidation with Barrett and Kavanaugh. I firmly believe, I seriously believe that Democrats are not above killing people. And when these two justices have young children, and we just don't know what lefties have threatened to do to their families. So, although it upsets me that they caved, I mean, what are we going to do when somebody threatens the lives of our families and us and all that?
Do you understand where I'm going?
I do, and, you know, I often think about how would I feel if I were in their place.
So do I.
And I can understand how intimidation could be such a powerful thing. I think back
I was just going to say, intimidation on certain things is one thing, but when you threaten a person's family or whatever, and they don't hold back, that's a different duck.
Well, it is. And in fact, let me address that on the other side of the break. Tim and Rich, you guys hang on. When we come back, because I want to address that comes into play into another part of the True News piece on Lynn Wood that I stumbled on yesterday. Because the intimidation is more than just your reputation. Could be the very health and safety of your family. Back in a moment.
Come on and sing my song.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Eric Azer is a contractor you can trust to do a great job in remodeling your home, your bathroom, your kitchen. They kind of specialize in that. Check them out at RighteousRenovations.com. You can see the great projects they've done for other people. In fact, read the very satisfied comments from many of their very satisfied customers. RighteousRenovations.com. We'll start first with Tim, and then we'll go to Rich. Tim, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. Just a couple, I guess, statements. You get what you don't do. When you don't stand for anything, that's what you get. When you're a politician and don't stand for anything, you get reelected.
Because you're playing it safe? Is that it?
Because you're not accountable. See, when you don't have anything that you stand for, then you're not accountable. All you're doing is merely reacting. And when you're reacting, they're the one that's doing it all.
Well, but do you think that I mean, generally I would agree with you, but it, you know, I'm just looking at where we're at. We have two systems of accountability, shall we say. If you're a Democrat, you can say and do all kinds of things that are radical leftist, and you pay no price for it. Nobody's holding you accountable for it.
Why not?
But if you're a Republican, well, because we don't, which is your point, right? We don't hold them accountable.
But the way
the Fourth
you
Estate,
hold them
the news media doesn't, though.
Is to have
social,
something.
And if you try to, seriously, Tim, if you try to go against them on social media, you just get censored. News media is not going to do anything about it. But if you're a Republican, they can say whatever they want about you. And the news media goes after you. Look at what they did to Ted Cruz the other day. ABC News spent 40 minutes talking about how Cruz had left and gone to Cabo or Cozumel, whatever the heck he went, with his daughters, took him there and turned around and came back home. And they're not going anything after any of the Democrats involved in any of their scandals.
Jeff,
how do we compete with that?
What would you do? I won't accept the fact they're smarter. I won't accept that they can do something better, but they can, but we can do nothing better than they can.
I agree with all of that. I'm just saying that it's not a level playing field, Tim, is my point. When you're talking about holding people accountable, it only works one way. Until we change it. Until we develop the systems of our own social media. I mean, look at the effort right now to get cable people to drop Fox and Newsmax and OANN. What happens if these cable providers actually do that? What do we do then for news?
But see, Jeff, you know. And the reason why you know is because you're smart. You know what you want. You know how to get it. And it's just a matter of, can we get people to get together when it's not all about them? When it becomes all about them, then we're right back where we were before.
Well, you're right about that. And that is why, that's why I went to the Capitol a month and a half ago and stood out in front with six other people, some of them listeners from this radio audience, like Rich, whom we're going to talk with in a moment. I stood out there with a paper bag over my head, protesting the fact that the legislature wasn't open. And I did that to poke fun at all of the so-called patriots out there that are afraid to show their face in front of the Capitol, because they won't stand up. This is why I'm not only angry at the Supreme Court, I'm angry that there wasn't 5,000 people yesterday yelling and screaming at the state capitol about this gun bill. Because you know what's not going to happen? Tim, the Republicans are not going to walk out over that. And that thing's going to pass. Now, if we'd been there yelling and screaming, we would have intimidated the Republicans to being willing to walk out. Because they would have known that we have their back. It didn't happen. It ought to happen. It's one of the things. Tim, thanks. I need to move on to Rich. Sorry, Rich, you can hear a little bit of my passion today. At any rate, what's on your mind?
No, I think passion is good. Second thing is, a lot of us, you got to look at it this way. What they're doing now is timing. Their timing is excellent because they know, like me, I'm out here trying to clean up my road so I can get in and out. So they're pushing all this stuff through when they know that, one, the people can't come, two, everybody's busy, and three, our communications isn't that well to let everybody know what's going on. The only reason I was there with you, and I understand why you had the bag over your head. If I had a bad hair day, I guess I would too. But anyway, the thing is that if you wouldn't have mentioned it on your talk show, I wouldn't have known about it, because I've been focusing on trying to straighten things out around here. The next thing is Art. He got one of the things he didn't understand is, and I forget the phrase, but Florida State was using that phrase that Obama came up with so that you couldn't look at the other person's, young person's record.
Yeah, that was a Department of Justice thing. It was racial, and this, you know, this kid was, I think he was Hispanic or whatever.
No, actually he wasn't, I don't think. But the problem is, it didn't matter who you are. If you are a violent teenager, you fall under this category that they're using. It's to perpetuate violence.
Yeah, they've been called to this kid's house something like 36
times. You're dealing with communists. People need to wake up and realize that the Democrat Party's been gone a long time.
Yeah, that's the problem. People are asleep. And this is why we're trying to do what we're trying to do on the show. Because the way that we get people awake is they have to understand that their personal liberty and what that means to them is truly in jeopardy here.
It is.
And the only way we're going to do it is if we share that with other people individually in our world.
Yeah, the other thing too, Jeff, is that I totally believe we need to be extremely conservative on the GOP, and we need to fight, yell, and scream back, just like they do, because that's the only way we're going to get people to realize just what's going on.
Yeah, and it's based on human nature, Rich. Human nature of, I can tell you, as a, you know, both as former state legislator and being on a school board and a fire board, if you don't hear from anybody, you're just assuming everybody's happy and it's all okay. But if your world is being turned upside down because people are yelling and screaming at you, believe me, it gets your attention and you start thinking about what you're doing differently.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I think we got some good fighters now that we have some new people or people that are willing to fight at the head of the state GOP. We'll just see how far they can get it. And one of the things is communications. And I'll bring up something comical for you. During this outage, we had no landline, no cell phone, and no power. So when we got back up, the wife looked at an email from the school for our grandson, and it said that if you don't have any lights or power and all that good stuff, when you get this email, either email us back or call us.
Oh, that's too good.
we were quite stunned at that one.
That's just too good. Lee writes me an email about banning guns, a concept.
Bye.
We all can admit that there's too much violence and a high percentage where an assault weapon was used. Simply tragic on all fronts. There is this concept, a wonderful idea that removing gun ownership will eradicate all such possibilities of future harm. Wouldn't that be nice? The ignorance of today is that a select group of people can magically change the problem of violence that dates back to the very first family. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, that is right. Cain killed Abel, didn't he? Was that with an assault weapon? No, I think it was with a rock. It isn't always comfortable, he writes, to be a protector by wearing a hard object in different places. This group believes that removing guns in the world would be a better place. I agree, but they would need to remove every gun from everywhere. Wouldn't that be nice? But let's not forget this concept of removing assault weapons. We must use their definition that assault is towards a person or an object. So when Cain picked up a rock, the rock became an assault weapon, just as any object used since then. Follow the reports. They say, okay, why is there a higher assault percentage in safe zones, and why are many crimes stopped by a citizen protector? The group that wants to remove the Second Amendment should also be held liable for all assault crimes that their concept didn't protect. Doesn't that seem fair? It does. Let's go back quickly to Art. Art, you heard your name, so you had to call and defend yourself?
Well, I've been following that situation, and Meadow's dad, he actually does have a website. He's been interviewed several times on the different gun talk shows. And I do fully understand, you know, the situation in his book. But let me say, Jeff, the heck with Freddie. I'm tired of this crap. I'm going elsewhere, Jeff. You shouldn't have even read that damn email. Bye.
All right. 7:48.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. You know, I Art's probably right. I shouldn't have read that. And my apologies, Art. Didn't mean to offend you, Art. And I have known each other since, my goodness, I first went in the legislature in 99. Been a friend ever since. And Art, I apologize. Didn't mean to do that. I do appreciate the fact that he sticks to his guns about what he believes. Good for him. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, good morning. What do you have to say today?
Hello.
Good morning. Who are you?
My name's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
You know, I've listened to your show, and I really absolutely love it.
Thanks.
And you know, the thing that I find, this is kind of from a biblical viewpoint, and you know, Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan, and Satan tempted them both, and look what happened. So now, what we see it is in infinity form. You know, the Democrats and the blue states are tempting all these people with special things, special privileges, and all of that. And you know, it's kind of more than just history repeating itself. So, you know, it's like never before, we really need to go to God and, you know, ask him for our help. Because, you know, it's like when they get that boatload, so to speak, ready to go down to meet their master, you know, I don't want to be on that boat, so to speak.
Well, I think that's part of what we've got to do in this country to save the republic and save our liberties, including our religious liberty. And that's that we have to pray. And then we have to be really active. You know, the caller from previously, you know, made the point, Lisa, that the U.S. Supreme Court is not the end all to be all. In essence, it's really God. You know, God is the great judge of all things. And we ought to be praying to him. And then we ought to be active, acting on what he tells us to do. And I mean, I just see that as the right way to approach this, because we're not, if we're putting all our faith and our trust in man, the Supreme Court people, or certainly politicians. Lisa, thank you. I appreciate it. Good point. State employee who shall never be named writes this. Your words and challenge to your audience to show up peacefully and patriotically, to let our voices and desires be known at the Capitol, are great. You're a great example for all of us to follow. Unfortunately, you are so often alone. I don't hear others on local radio alerting us to dangerous bills and calling listeners to action. I don't see the local Republican Party or other groups mobilizing to let their voices be heard. I don't see Republican office holders leading efforts to inform the public of dangerous progressive initiatives, writing op-eds, holding press conferences on the Capitol steps, etc. Basically, I don't see any organized passion or commitment to unify, to show up and speak with one voice. Where are other leaders like you mobilizing the conservative base? Well, they're silent. They're like you've noted. Why? Are they intimidated? Are they just going along to get along? I don't know. Tim writes, regarding yesterday's testimony, the most important issue to discuss was the emergency clause, not gun rights. Why? How many people's testimony wasn't anticipated? There was no testimony that would have held anybody on the committee accountable. Well, the way to hold people on the committee accountable is to turn up the heat on them. Pray for them first for wisdom, discernment. And if they won't listen, pray for them to get so hot and so uncomfortable, they have second thoughts about voting to take away our rights, especially with the use of an emergency clause. Let's go to our private caller again. Private caller, again?
Yes.
Who are you?
This is Ron speaking.
Hi, Ron. Good to hear your voice again.
Yes. Okay. When I was at work, kind of an echo. When I was at work, I sat in the parking lot and wrote a long article for SafeChat. And here's what I said. We cannot look to man, but look to God only. And when man has exhausted all his means, God will act. But the one thing we need to believe is what Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. So when we stand up and believe in that, then God will act.
Well, I think you're right. Ron, I think back to our founding fathers.
Yes.
And I forget who I said this to yesterday, but I think God, our founding fathers, Ron, did not let themselves be intimidated.
I think God wants us to have a taste of totalitarian communist state. And we get a sick enough, we'll stand up. When they come after our gun, look out.
Well, sadly, I think that's going to happen. I don't know if it happens here or if it happens in California first, but it's going to happen. I don't know if the Biden administration is going to try it. It's going to happen, and we can't rely on the courts to stop it. They've shown themselves to be feckless and worthless, and that they can be intimidated. Ron, thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Look, folks, the way you push back is for us to again pray, be organized, know your rights, and that's what Chris Ann Hall talked so much about. There will be further organizational opportunities for us to come together. But that's why this story about Mercer County, Missouri yesterday, declaring that they're the third Second Amendment sanctuary county. Their sheriff is a part of this, Sheriff Lopez. All of their county commissioners. And they basically declared here, signed declaration, that any person acting as an official, agent, employee, or deputy of the United States government who enforces or attempts to enforce any of the infringements identified in this ordinance or gives material aid or support to others who enforce or attempt to enforce any of these infringements identified in this ordinance may be permanently ineligible to be hired as a law enforcement officer or to supervise law enforcement officers in the county or exceeds the authority of the Mercer County, Missouri Commission. And then it goes on to lay it all out. Your sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in the land. Our sheriff in Marion County needs to get on the stick and stand up, don't you think? And then our county commissioners need to stand up against Kate Brown and against Joe Biden. But they won't unless you and I are putting the heat on them. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem, 7:59. See you tomorrow, friends.